And the name is Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we know that all of heaven's attention is standing. But thank you, God, we know that it's just the heart of the Lamb. Jesus is so for us. Oh, Father, make them one as we are one. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you brought us into this. Thank you, Lord, that you've drawn us into this. Lord, awaken our hearts this morning to the beauty of Jesus. Oh, God, help every one of us to lay aside the weights. God, to lay aside the indifference. Oh, God, to not be cumbered about with things that would have us full of care and troubled. Jesus. Jesus. There is something about that name. Thank you, Lord, that we come only in that name. Only in that love. Only in that strength. And only in that joy. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's go on over to Luke 10 this morning. And we're going to talk about Jesus. Now it came to pass, as they went, this is verse 38 of chapter 10. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a village. This is Jesus. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. See, I want to be known as Mary that sits at Jesus' feet. I like that. You know, they talk about Mary at Bethany and Mary at this. No, this, I like this. Mary that sat at Jesus' feet. There's Mary. Remember, her name means bitter. Yeah, it's okay. That's who he'll deal with if you know you got that kind of stuff. Amen? All right. So, a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. See, isn't that beautiful? Heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto Martha, 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 thou art careful, full of cares. You're troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, one thing. And Mary hath chosen the good part. That means the more excellent portion, which shall not be taken away from her. That word cumbered up there, it means not only distracted, but to drag all around. There are many things in our lives that can cause us to be dragging all around. And only one thing's going to heal that. And that's the better and more excellent portion. Amen. There's many encouragements in this today. So many layers that God is dealing with hearts in this precious portion of Scripture. But just one here today. And I smiled as the Lord brought this to my heart. Because we've all been here. Martha, quit being a fixer. Quit being a fixer. Now you all know what a fixer is. So don't go rolling your head. What does he mean? I'm talking about those that know exactly what you need to do to get your life right. Martha, quit being a fixer. Yes, now. It's shown very clearly here, there is but one way that your life will be right. Only one way. That's to sit at the feet of Jesus, hear the word of God, which you can sum up like this. Just be still and draw nigh to him. Amen. Just be still and sit there. Praise God, knowing that that is the more excellent portion. But you see, some folks never get that. They spend so much time trying to be the fixer of everybody else's life. As the word of the Lord says, they try to remove a mote from their brother's eye when they don't realize the beam that's in their eye. In case you don't understand that, it's like a little teeny speck that might be in a brother's eye that they know they've got to fix with. But yet here they have this nasty old log right there in their eye. What are you doing? What are you trying to fix? Brothers and sisters, I thank the Lord. He encourages us. That stuff needs to be knocked out. We need to knock that stuff off. I thank God. The Lord's given me testimony of that throughout my life. I've seen the fixers go. I've seen the ones that wanted to stay to be a fixer. I'm talking about critical, judgmental, just basically put you in condemnation. They won't sit under the whole counsel of God for long. They won't do it. Because there's something about the word of God. It'll root it out. It ain't going to be that. You're either going to settle down at the feet of Jesus, draw nigh to that more excellent portion, or you'll eventually go. That's the way it is. Because you'll either surrender grace or grace is going to drive you nuts. Huh? You need to understand this. Now, spiritual ones, we know in the word of God, they're restorers. Spiritual ones restore. And what they do is they plant and they water. But spiritual ones know this. It's only God that gives the increase. Spiritual ones know this. It's only God that can fix a life. Amen. Only God. I was thinking it's just like I've taken different ones fishing. And I take them out and I put them on a hole. Might show them a couple things about how to fish. Well, after that, I leave them alone. I know they're looking around sometimes. And yeah, I like to fish. But I want them to know what I know. There isn't anything better. There isn't anything more beautiful than fishing alone with Jesus. Understanding the fruit and the increase that he'll bring your life. Understanding, praise God, you've got your basket. And I'll tell you what, he'll put fish and he'll put the loaves in there, and they're endless. And I thank God how he does that. But you got to know that. Now, ones that try to fix lives, I've found them much to be like a Joab. They think they have all the answers, but they don't have any love. They think they have all these words to tell, but they don't have a vision. Because they really don't see it. They don't see it's the Lord that does it. They think that somehow they are so mighty that they can do this. They think that they know what life's about. And so sadly, if they would just look in the mirror, they would recognize that their life is but a shipwreck. It's true. Spiritual ones restore. Spiritual ones will just point them right to the place because he is the spiritual one. He's it. He's Jesus. He pointed that sweet Martha who was talking about all these other things. It's right here at my feet. This is the more excellent portion. It's not out there doing all these things. I was thinking about how dragging around. You could drag a palm all around. Like I told you, I've been on trips here lately, and it was funny because we've seen these big windstorms, and sometimes those palm leaves will fly out and everything. And they get heavy. And those fellows were out there dragging them all around like this. Now you can drag around your palm, or you can hold your crown. I don't think I'd ever use the expression, I'm dragging around my crown. Huh? I think I'm going to just carry it to treasure it. I'm going to hold it fast, which thou hast, that nobody take my crown. But if I'm going to be cumbered with serving, I'm going to be dragging something around. Amen? Think of this, what he's saying here. Brothers and sisters, we've heard this expression before. We need to put down the stones, don't we? Put down the rocks. Quit throwing those things. I loved how Brother Hill said it many times. If you're going to be a turkey, God will cut your beak right off. You ain't going to peck one another to death. That's not going to happen. And, you know, I believe I'd rather be a dove and learn to love on you. You know what I'm saying? Get up on your house and coo and give you something soothing to hear, you know, as opposed to pick at you. You know, sometimes it's not easy being a pastor. I want you to know that. God brings me to things. And I want to stand in the love and the truth of what God has given. And there's some things he calls me to that aren't easy. They're not. Sometimes the Lord will call this life to encourage a brother or sister in the Lord. You have to be still right now. That thing has to break in a life. Because what happens is that can become over into discord, and it can start to infect and things of that nature. Now, those things go forth sometimes. And sometimes God takes action through his word. And we need to be in prayer about those things as an assembly. We need to be praying. The thing that should be most paramount on our heart is to restore any or brother or sister to fellowship. Anytime. Every time. There isn't anyone we shouldn't want walking through those doors that would want to hear truth. Wouldn't matter how they looked, where they were, what they were even doing. Anything that would draw them in here to hear the word of God. By the grace of God, we would want them to hear the word of God. Readied, prepared, praise God. Just like those that were sitting there at the kingdom with the Father. They were waiting just like him for that prodigal to return. They wanted to have that fellowship restored. And it wasn't that they were just waiting. They were preparing and expecting that brother to come back. It wasn't something like they were saying, well, I wonder if he's coming. No, they were expecting it. The feast was being prepared. Everything was ready. The Father had the coat, the ring, the kiss. Praise be to God, it was all right there. So, what do we need? We need to hear and get into more truth and love. And I thank God that in his faithfulness, he's bringing out such abundance right now. I'm thanking the Lord. I can tell you my own heart. The treasure is only growing to be with you. I thank God for that. I thank the Lord. I heard again the other day, a brother that I was with. I wish we could have church every day. Yeah, it's a beautiful time, isn't it? And I thank the Lord for however many times anybody will come. But I hope that they would get it. There isn't any more joy and peace than hearing the word of God and being around those that love to hear the word of God. It's treasure. God gives us these moments, these times that this is what, in a certain way, it'll be like being with him. It'll just be the word of God. These things will just be gone. Hallelujah. The only thing that will remain is truth and love. Thanks be to God. We'll be out of the presence of this sinful world. But I thank the Lord. You know, there's a way that he brings that to us. As we come in here to fellowship and we begin to just really peer into the face of our Lord and see that glory and realize, and then we're transformed and praise God. Even the renewing of our minds. It's happening right now. That there isn't anything else. This is who we are in Christ. Our citizenship's in heaven. We're just awaiting at the stop, praise be to God, and ready to go. I thank the Lord that so soon that moment's going to come. I thank the Lord that so soon there's going to be a blast. And there's ones that have an ear to hear that blast. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Amen? Well, do you have the ear, praise God, to hear the blast? You do if you hear this message. You do if you hear the message of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's going to be a blast. Hallelujah. The voice of the archangel. The trump of God. And he told us what that is in the Song of Solomon. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Amen. That's something by the grace of God. You'll hear if you have that ear. And that ear that only the Spirit can give. Amen? Isn't that, again, amazing how it has to be the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the one that the Lord sent to us so precious and specifically that he said, there's many things I want to tell you, brothers, that was to his disciples, but you can't understand them. You don't have that ear to hear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, the Holy Ghost, oh yes, he will take the things of mine and he'll make them yours. He'll show them. You'll have understanding. You'll have that ear to hear. So he gave that ear out at Pentecost, didn't he? Isn't that wonderful? And there was that ear that was had the ability to hear. And what was coming to hear? Paul's gospel. Praise the Lord. The order's absolutely perfect. The order is absolutely beyond in its perfection of how things occur and happen. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Praise God. So, brothers and sisters, this is it. We all need more truth in love. And we all have this precious time that we're having with God right now because he's pouring out this feast. But will I remind each and every one of us, we all come in here unique, one of a kind, special packages. So true. So amazingly true. We each have special problems. We each have special infirmities. We each have special talents. We have lives that are tailor-made by God that are for God. Did you hear that? By God and for God, which means we are vessels constantly needing his mercy. Constantly. We are vessels of his mercy. And upon those vessels of his mercy, he bestows the treasures of his glory. Amen. See, that's this beautiful, again, life that God has given us. This life that is completely dependent upon him. This life that he expresses to Martha. Mary's got the more excellent portion right here. This is it. It'll never be taken away from her. She's the worshiper. I worship you, his sister sang. It's just perfect today. Listen to this. Jesus. There wasn't any toiling in that. My goodness, that was the lily. The lily doesn't toil. The lily just grows. But the lily knows where it's going to grow. It's going to grow at the feet of the Creator. Well, I'll tell you what. The ones that know this high con of God in Christ Jesus, the only way we're going to grow? At the feet of grace. And that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You just plant yourself right down there. You don't have to strive for this. It's not a struggle. We are his workmanship. That beauty just flows out of him. Virtue comes out of him. It all comes out of him. Praise be to God. This is so wonderful. We are a people that are thankful and know that our lives were made for one thing. And that's to live at the throne of grace. The reason your life is distracted, the reason your life isn't, if you want to say, humming, is because you're not living the life that he gave you. That life lives at the throne of grace. This isn't just a hit and miss. It says come boldly. It didn't say leave. It said come boldly. And that means stay. Remain, abide. Praise him for it. Continue to get more lowly in that. Had some of the most precious trials come upon our brethren as of late. The one thing I can testify to every single one of us that have really gone through these deep, deep, deep things. I've got a testimony. Don't leave that humbleness. Don't leave that broken heart and contrite spirit. You saw God in a way that he so graced you to see. But see, he knows what you can take. He knows what you can bear. And he's not going to test you beyond that. But that doesn't mean leave that state of brokenness in that beauty of what he is. Seeing how mighty my God is, I've seen the Lord so graciously take us time and time through things, my life included. But once he takes me through, I forgot all about it. As opposed to taking the gold mine that he brought to me in that time that he had brought me so low to see him so immense. See, that was the problem with those children in the wilderness there for the 40 years. God showed them time and time again, I'm God, I'm God, I'm God. Just like you hear these little praise reports from people, oh man, look what God did for me, look what God did for me. And 2 minutes later, they're murmuring. That's us. But for God. But for God, an oist in remembrance of those beautiful times with him. The magnificent things, the little things. The little things like getting a Bible 9 months later. The little things that God will show you. You know, you were disappointed about something. But as I was saying, I really do. I think for 2 months, I think my wallet was on top of my car as I drove around town. I'm not kidding. But we forget them, don't we? He's in everything for us. Everything for us. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we need to be thankful that we know our lives live at the throne of grace. We've got it made. You've got it made. Do you realize what you hear in the sincerity of this truth and this word for year after year? And it's not in this place, but what God has graced you to hear. People do not know this. They're still toiling, and I'm talking about the people of God. They're still trying to feel right with God. And understand, it's already been done. It was all taken at the cross, all the victory, all the joy. Hallelujah. He brought that to us. He gave us. He enjoined us in that glory with Him. We have it. And we rejoice with one another. We come in here and we're a thankful people. And we're understanding that even when it ain't going right, we're still a thankful people. Because you see your life walking through the Word of God. You see it. You know that truth. It doesn't surprise you when a fiery trial comes. It doesn't. It hurts. It can cause pain. Fear can be there for a moment. But the Word of God comes. And it says, oh no, this is what it is. Honey, I'm perfecting that which concerns you. And then you know Paul's gospel. And then you understand that these sufferings that God gives us, these things that we would rather have off of us, these thorns that God has precisely given each and every one of us, that even Paul said, Lord, take it from me. And think of Paul's walk with the Lord. It took him all that time to get to that point where he said, oh my goodness, I get this. If this was out of my life, and I'm a spiritual man, and I see these things, but Lord, I know this isn't good for my life. But the Lord said, if I took that from you, Paul, you would be lifted up. You would be lifted up. There would be a break in this beautiful fellowship that we have. You'd get up from my feet and think that maybe you needed to go do something for a while. I don't ever want to think I have anything to do except to be at His feet. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, do you know how beautiful your trials and temptations are to this meeting? Did you hear that? Do you know how beautiful your trials and temptations are to this meeting? Now, I'm not talking about willful defiance. We're not talking about willful defiance. But we're talking about broken hearts. We're talking about contrite, humble lives before God that come boldly and say, Lord, I need this to change. Do you know your temptation and your trial is the most beautiful thing to this meeting? Amen. Now, listen to this. We've heard about that little bird. Why is it that that bird that's called a thrush can only sing that beautiful song when its breast is almost pierced by a thorn? It can't just get out there and sing. It's got to be nestled up to that thorn that hits it for it to sing. Paul, you do not want me to remove that thorn. Paul, you do not want me to remove that thorn. 3 times. Paul, you do not want me to remove that thorn. Oh, Lord, I don't want you to remove that thorn. I know that it's this infirmity. Matter of fact, I know that it's all my infirmities that are so precious to you, because as I go to the throne of grace for them, not go off in willful defiance of them, but they're still hanging, but I go to the throne of grace, I know that's when the power of Christ rests upon my life. Do I want something to leave my life, or do I want the power of Christ to reign on my life? Wait a second. I saw a few people turn green out here. Do I want something to leave my life, or do I want the power of Christ reign on my life? Minister to me, Jesus. Minister to me. There would not be a Bible without people with severe problems. There would not be a Bible without people with severe problems. There would be no need of mercy without wretched men and women like you and like me, with flaws and mistakes and failures. We have such a wonderful meeting because we see this mess. This mess. In the marvelous plan of the grace of God, don't we? Because if I didn't, I would have ended it a long time ago. I can tell you that truthfully. That's not a statement. That's fact. I know this guy. And I know how grace had to rush in there. And I know how grace has to continue to rush in there. Full grace runs like a river through the vessels who love His mercy, who love mercy for their lives, and who really love mercy for their brethren. Do you know the Apostle Paul? That was one thing about him. He loved the mercy for his life, but he sure loved mercy for his brethren. I love you, brethren, so much. I love your trial, and I love your temptation. And I love it right before the throne of grace. I love that you know that you need Jesus. I thank the Lord that we're here today, that we know we need Jesus. I'm thankful to God for you that you know you need to fall upon His breast. I thank the Lord for all your tears. I thank God for the wounds that you know only Jesus can heal. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more encouraging to me. There's nothing more inspiring to me than to have brethren that have a heart that knows they need the mercy and grace of God. I've known brethren that knew truth, but did not know they needed the mercy and the grace of God. I don't want to be that brother. That our love would increase more and more for one another. Amen. Well, as we close this up, I commend us to what the Lord is doing. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? He brought that sweet little Mary as we started today right to His feet. He had to draw her there. But she knew where she needed to go. There wasn't any fixer for her life but Jesus. There wasn't any comfort. There wasn't any solace but Jesus. And we're at a special moment right now. Because as it said, that was the more excellent portion that she had. The Lord is getting ready a wife. She's being completed right now. I heard my sweet uncle say just a couple weeks back. He was pretty sad when his dad, Brother Hill, had passed away. He was really sad that his sweet wife, Jewel, had passed away. And he said, oh, I wanted to pass away so much. But he said, oh, I'm so glad that I've been here these past 13 years. He said, I've seen a portion of a garden that I never knew was there. He said, I've seen lives in this church that I never thought would ever, ever be ready. And then it's this little grin. He said, oh, I'm so thankful that the Lord let me live these 13 years. Brothers and sisters, more truth in love. Don't use the word to put down a brother. By the grace of God, in truth and love, you know what that word will do? It'll work in you to lift up a brother. Lift up a sister. And more importantly, to really quicken Christ in you. Christ in you. Do you know Christ in you? The hope of glory. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. And are just so grateful, Lord, for your amazing love. It does ravish the heart of those that are in tune. Really, beyond words, speechless, because of your grace and mercy. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for this word of your grace that it does. It builds us up. It doesn't tear us down. The word of your grace, it builds us up. And then it gives us an inheritance. That inheritance, oh my goodness, the exceeding riches inheritance. Among all them that are sanctified. Lord, thank you for giving us those that have truly lived and loved a sanctified life that we've watched. God, help us to want it. God, help us this morning truly lay aside the weights of indifference. Whether they're the weights for my life, the things that are we think are so dear to us, but that we could come to realization this morning, these things are hurting my life. These things are interfering and getting in between. Lord, don't let us be complacent. Don't let us go off in a willful defiance. Oh, Brother Jesse said I could live like this. Oh, no. No, I want to bend that knee, Jesus. And I want to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I finally want this worked in my life. And Lord, I want to be patient, but I want to be patient waiting at the throne of grace. I don't want to fool myself in being patient and not hearing the word of God. Brother David said, I want to take of the cup of salvation, a man full of failure, full of such turmoil, but yet a man whose heart was perfect, perfect, because he would not set down the cup of salvation. Oh, let our lips drink. Let our hearts just again only be quenched, Lord, by this wonderful river of the water of life. We thank you today. Thank you for dealing with our hearts. Thank you for dealing with my heart. I love you so, my precious Lord Jesus. We give you the praise. Amen.